This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Baseball Together podcast, where we're going to talk about Albert Pujols continuing to hit home runs, give a World Baseball Classic roster update, and take you team shopping.
9 Plus Us presents the Baseball Together podcast with your hosts, Blackjack Brad and Kansas City Little Big Briggy Blue Eyes. And now, Baseball Together.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Baseball Together podcast. My name is Brad. I am one of your hosts, and I am here with our guy, as you would expect, Brig. Welcome, Brig. How are you this fine evening?
Well, given the fact that my performance on tonight's podcast is sponsored, not paid, but powered by, how about that? Powered by the new Coke Zero Dreamland. It's very interesting, and I don't hate it. And look at this. Look at this petite little can I found.
Is that an 8-ounce can?
Yeah, 7.5, and it is dainty.
It is dainty. Yeah, you have to drink that with your pinky out at the very least, Brig.
I do, Mr. Bradman.
You should. Very good. Thank you. As we say, Brig, we have a lot to get into today because there's a lot going on as the season is winding to an end. First things first, Albert Pujols continues to hit home runs. He passed A-Rod last week. We talked about that, but he has hit 698 home runs now.
Yep.
Any day he will be hitting home run number 700, I anticipate. Yep. Because I think once you get in a groove like this, it doesn't matter what the pitching is doing, like what's going on with the pitchers, whether they were grooving pitches down the middle to him or actually pitching him. I don't know. And I don't really care, to be completely honest with you. He's in a groove. He's going to continue to hit home runs. Brig, how many home runs do you think he finishes with is the question I have for you.
713.
713 with 2 weeks left in the season.
20 games? It's got to be, what is it, around 20? It's almost exactly 20 games left, right?
Yeah, I think it is like exactly 20 games. I'm going to say 702.
702? That's
it? He's
only
going to hit a couple more. Yeah, he's tired. He's an old man. He's not going to play every day, even with the DH.
You're tired.
I am tired. You're right.
Yeah, I don't know that he'll actually make it to 713, but it's going to be more than 702. That's only four more in 20 games.
I know. And out of 20 games, I bet you he plays 12.
Okay. Well, that puts him at 710.
If he hits one a day.
Yeah. I don't know that he will. That's pretty far-fetched.
No, I don't know. It's interesting. It's fun to watch, though. He is going to hit 700. I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
And he'll reach that elite level of the 700 club. And it'll be fantastic and could be one of the last, very last members we see for a very, very, very long time.
That's a fact.
Let's talk about Tony La Russa for a couple minutes.
Okay.
So first things first, we know that he was having some health issues earlier this year, right? Like,
we saw
him falling asleep in the dugout, and it turns out that I don't know that that was necessarily him just being a tired old man. I think there was something else going on there, and turns out he had to have a pacemaker installed into his chest cavity. And there's no return date yet for him to come back and manage the club. And I don't know if he's going to. Do you think, Brig, if the White Sox somehow make the playoffs, make the wild card, or win the Central or whatever, that his doctor's like, yeah, go ahead and manage playoff baseball? Or is it going to be a Lou Brown situation?
Yeah, he's not going to. Yeah, Lou Brown is exactly right. Yeah, no. I don't think he's coming back. Doesn't matter why or what the scenario is. I think he'll need the time to settle into the new normal.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he could honestly be done for good.
Yeah.
His doctor could be like, no, it's time for you to like officially hang it up and be done, because baseball, managing baseball is way too stressful on you and your heart.
Well, yeah, is it,
put that. What's that?
What's the manager? Was it Dave Roberts or was it the, who's the manager a couple years ago that needed to calm down because of his heart?
I think it was Roberts. I think it was Roberts.
It was, but wasn't it?
Terry Francona has health issues too, though.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. Well, you spend that long in Boston. Back. How could you not?
Yeah, for real, though.
I'm just kidding. Sorry, Mike.
I wonder if Tony La Russa is going to finally put that law degree to use, though.
Yeah. Brad hit me tonight. He said, did you know Tony La Russa has a Juris Doctorate from Florida State? I said, what? Turns out it's true. And he was, what is he, passed the bar in, what'd you say, 1980?
Yeah, he graduated in 78 and was included in the Florida bar in 1980. That is fascinating information.
Literally amazing. Put that in your prayer and ponder it, baseball family. I don't know.
I love it so much. It's so funny. It's just, it's so random. So it's amazing. Good.
Yeah,
it's absolutely amazing.
Oh, man.
All right. Speaking of amazing, let's talk about Diamondbacks pitcher Zach Gallen. I love this so much as the Diamondbacks being my local team. And I wore this hat. This is a complete coincidence, to be honest with you. I just happened to have my Pirate shirt on already. I was like, what's a black hat I could wear? I'll wear my Diamondbacks hat. It's
nice.
Goes well together. Anyway, he broke the team's scoreless innings pitched record of 42 and a third inning, and his streak ended two innings later at 44 and a third. But Brig, is this a big deal for this Diamondbacks team to have Zach Gallen set this record?
No,
it's not.
No,
why not?
Because somebody else will come along and do it, and he's not a franchise guy. He's going to stay there a long time.
Okay.
He's represented by Scott Boras, right. And that means he's leaving Arizona at the earliest opportunity. Because of that, this is going to be a big deal for about as long as it takes me to finish speaking, and then we will be moving on to bigger and better things, and that's exactly how Scott and Zach are looking at his career. Like, this is a great opportunity for him to make more money.
Yeah, they could point to this and really cash in, huh?
Yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah.
And I wish it was a bigger deal for Arizona, and the fans deserve a big deal like this. But if he's going to stay there long-term, awesome. Then this is a big deal. But if he's not going to have a statue out front of Chase, then no.
So, I have this for you. He's not a free agent until 2026. He's got three more seasons.
Okay.
He's arbitration eligible this offseason.
Yeah. Right.
And so this is my thing, is that the Diamondbacks, a team with a star in Ketel Marte, but totally. Unfortunately the guy cannot stay healthy.
Nope.
Absolutely has not been able to stay healthy in Arizona. But now you have somebody you can market as your anchor for your pitching staff.
Yep.
So there's that's a big deal. Because I remember, like, you and I went to a game, was it earlier this year? And we were standing in the concourse. I texted you, I was like, I'm standing by the Zach Gallen poster, whoever that guy is. Now, yeah. I know yeah. who that guy is, right?
Yeah, you do. You absolutely do. Right. Yeah,
for sure. And so it helps to have some accomplishment and some name recognition for guys that the team A can market, but also can build around. They can say, look, we have this pitcher who is homegrown. We have other players who are homegrown who we can bring up as well. And we're just maybe a couple years away from getting around and maybe not competing with the Dodgers, because nobody does that.
Yeah.
But we could compete with the Padres.
For sure. Possible.
You know, I feel like it's that little glimmer of hope that a front office needs to help sell season tickets and get fans to buy in on what they're doing.
Yeah. But you're going to need more than one decent starting pitcher, though.
Right. Yes. The Diamondbacks need a lot of work, but I will say they've come a long way from last year.
Oh, like, yeah.
They've come up as much as the Giants went down from last year.
100% accurate.
So There was much more of a buzz going to games this year than there was last year.
Yeah.
I'll say that for sure.
Yeah.
And I think Zach Gallen could be a part of continuing to grow that buzz. So
yeah, that's well said. I like that.
Well, excellent. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, you're welcome.
Speaking of pitching, let's talk about pitchers just for a little bit longer.
Yes.
Your guy, Brig, Jacob DeGrom.
Oh, I love him.
Affectionately known as Jake. He has had 40 straight starts with three or fewer earned runs. The last time DeGrom allowed at least four earned runs in a game was back on September 3rd, 2019.
Just think about that for a minute. The last time he started on the mound and gave up more than four earned runs was in 2019.
Solid 3 years ago. I mean, granted, there was a shortened season in there, but
plus some injury time for sure.
Some injury. Yeah. Well, yeah. Cause that's only 40 starts over that time.
Yeah.
Whereas he should have, I believe is what is it? 26 starts a year.
Yeah. That's closer to 60, 70 that he should have had or something, but
yeah. Especially missing almost the entire first half of this year. But regardless, no matter how long it is, 40 starts is a long time to go with that. Wildly impressive. That is an all-time record for Major League. Set that. And Jim Scott previously held the record for more than 100 years.
Yep.
And he did that on June 1st, 1913 to June 4th, 1914.
Yep. It took Scott a year. Jim Scott, it took a year. But, you know, arguably he didn't have a ton of injuries and time off and shortened season and all that other stuff.
Well, and back then they didn't have a limit on the number of starts. Like, you could start two days later. Like, how you feeling today? Feeling good, coach. Okay, go out there and toss a few for me. You
know, exactly.
Stuff like that. That's guys, exactly. Like, who was the guy who got struck by lightning and finished the game? Like,
the Cleveland pitcher. Like, I forget his name. It's wild.
But stuff like that going, that's why he had 40 starts in a year was all.
That's exactly right. But what's cool about this is that DeGrom, so the earned run stat was established in 1913. So because of Jim Scott, like that's not like how it all came about, right? So then DeGrom has only given up, we've already talked about what he's given up. His earned run average is 1.98. And he's struck out 888 players in 103 starts since 2017.
That ERA number is what's the craziest to me.
Yeah.
That it's sub 2.
Sub 2 over this huge span of time since 2017. It's crazy.
Yeah. That's bananas. I'm curious what year it was that he cut his hair. Because I swear to you, he got better once he cut his hair.
100% better. Yeah, I totally agree with you. But I'm more curious about whether he'll stay in New York. He says he remains adamant that he will not. But Cohen says he'll do whatever he can to keep him. And I don't know what is going to happen.
Because Cohen's basically got a bottomless checkbook.
Yeah, and he's shown that he's willing to use it. So,
yeah.
I'm pretty nervous about that.
He's got one more year. He's not a free agent until 2024. He's got one more year with the Mets. Yeah. But and that's really interesting too, because what happens next year if it comes down to the trade deadline and he's like, no, I'm not re-signing with you. I do not want to be a Met after this year. I'm like, okay, then we have to trade you because we're not about to lose you in free agency.
Yeah.
Then that would be a whole nother Soto situation.
It will be. And can I just throw this out there? I'm not even going to predict it. I'm not saying this is going to happen. But can you imagine a world where Nestor Cortez, Gerrit Cole, and Jacob DeGrom are on the same starting rotation?
In a world.
In a world where Briggs' dreams come true.
Well, so here's the thing. You bring
Excuse
up
me
Nestor
while
Cortez.
I take a bougie sip of my Coke.
Oh, and with that, yes. But this is my thing, though. Like, Nestor Cortez has been lights out and, like, borderline Cy Young candidate, right? If there wasn't other things going on in the league. I don't know what Nestor Cortez is going to be next year. That's my thing.
Right.
This could be a one-year phenomenon with him. And then he could just fall off the face of the earth because he basically came out of nowhere because he wasn't really very good before this year.
Yeah,
he was terrible with Seattle in two years ago in 2020.
Yep. Yep.
Like, absolutely terrible. So he could go back to that. I don't know.
He could. Shut your mouth. You stop it right now, Brad. I know it's possible, but I don't want to hear that right now. Let's move on.
Let's move on. Let's talk about the World Baseball Classic. We love the World Baseball Classic around here. In our house, yep. It's the WBC. So we have a couple of roster updates for you. A couple of guys you would expect to be playing for Puerto Rico. You got Javi Baez and Carlos Correa and will be playing for Puerto Rico again. So that means that you're going to have more no-look tags in the World Baseball Classic. One of the greatest baseball highlights we have ever gotten. And legitimately, Brig, some of the greatest plays I've ever seen in my life happened in the last World Baseball Classic.
Yeah, and all because of Javi Baez, or a lot of them.
Well, there was Javi Baez. Jose Bautista was playing left field.
Oh, that's right.
For Puerto Rico, and that was an absolute strike that he threw against Colombia. And, man, I was, like, jumping up and down. I was like, what is this? That was when I was absolutely all in on the World Baseball Classic, was that very moment.
Yeah,
and
that's
then, like,
awesome.
It was, like, 5 minutes later, Baez does that down to second base. I was like, this is where like he just and one baseball mixtape tour.
That's right. He, like, grabbed it, held it down, and was pointing at the catcher without even – he didn't even look at the runner.
Yeah, pointing to the catcher.
Oh, it was amazing.
I think it was Yadi Molina who threw it, too.
I wouldn't be surprised.
But anyway, yeah. So more of that in this year's World Baseball Classic to look out for. Carlos Correa, I think that dude just lets it fly too.
Yeah.
Because I think he holds back in Major League Baseball because he has to. But when he gets with his fellow countrymen and they like the Puerto Rican team is exciting to watch. They are a ton of fun.
Yeah, agreed.
So they are must watch TV.
Well, they have and more fun than everybody else. Like let's be honest. That's part of it. They bring an infectious amount of enthusiasm to the game that they, like you say, they have to kind of keep in check a little bit with Major League Baseball and these unwritten, you know, rules. But it's so fun, and it comes out in the WBC.
It does. It does. It's such a soccer atmosphere all around because everybody's willing to cheer and pimp their home runs, everything. There's flags flying everywhere. The fans are crazy. It's literally a completely different ballgame than watching Major League Baseball.
Because very nice.
Sometimes Major League Baseball is a little too buttoned up for me these days. But
agreed.
This one, so I saw this one. I thought it was really interesting. Mariners catching prospect Harry Ford will be playing for Great Britain.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's playing for, I believe he's playing for the... he's not with the Arkansas Travelers. I want to say he's with the Everett Aqua Sox still.
Okay.
But, yeah, I thought that was really just absolutely fascinating because he's from Georgia.
So is this one of those things where it's like, well, my ancestors are from so-and-so, so I can play there? Because that's what happens in the Olympics sometimes.
Right, yeah.
My family is, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Sorry, he's with single A. Or Low A, he's with the Modesto Nuts, which is one of my favorite names because that's just so funny. But, yeah, I have no idea because I can't find anywhere why he would be playing for Great Britain. And
interesting.
Yeah, it might just be like my third great aunt twice removed came over on a ship in 1892.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So
we'll have to keep an eye out for that information because I want to know the full story.
Yes, I've legitimately been searching since I found this outbreak.
Well, and I want to know the rule that allows him to do it too.
Yeah, because I think with the Olympics, there's some kind of citizenship rule that's in
something. But I know that some athletes from some countries they'll move. This happens a lot with U.S. based athletes, but they're families are from other places or they're, you know, and there has to be a degree. It can't be 7 degrees to Kevin Bacon. There has to be some rule. I forget the stipulation, but they have a better chance of making it to the Olympics on a different team, obviously. Mm-hmm. So they choose to represent the other team, which is fine. It doesn't bother me at all. It bothers a lot of people, but it doesn't bother me.
I think so. Now that I think about it, I think it cannot be more than two generations removed because there was a kid who played baseball where we went to college. I was talking to him after he had graduated, and his grandmother was, I want to say, Indonesian.
Mm.
And the Indonesian baseball team, national team, reached out to him to come pitch.
Oh, wow.
And he was like, I'm good. But the fact that, you know, he fit the lineage.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Looking for, and it worked for him. Huh. So, yeah, it's interesting. Maybe we'll have to look that up for the World Baseball Classic before the next episode, because I'm sure we'll have more updates coming down the pipe.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, let's talk about Aaron Judge.
Oh, yeah.
What is he, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Sport?
Every day, baby. Yeah, I call him the Chief Justice of the Supreme Sport. And my daughter always says, Dad, did the Chief Justice, did the Justice, what's his name? The Chief what? Did he hit a home run today? It's adorable.
That's like, and the answer to that should just be probably, because at this point, he most likely did. It's like, yeah. I used to check it on this Mariners website every day, because it was before, like, before I had a smartphone and all this stuff to check scores. And it was, did the Mariners win today.com? And for a long time, it would know, yes, they'd update it every day. But eventually, it just got to the point where they just put probably not. And they just left it. And then it eventually fell down.
Oh, no.
That is, man, a true story. That was a real actual website. And it was amazing.
That's terrible.
So Aaron Judge has 59 total home runs on the season through 142 games. Maris threw 56 or had 56 through 142. Babe Ruth had 53 through 142, and he ended with 60. Maris ended with 61, and then Alex Rodriguez had 52 through 142 games. He ended with 54. So he is well ahead of the pace. Has a long time to go before he catches Maris, because. So this is the thing too, is that Babe Ruth at the time had 154 games, I believe, to reach his mark of 60. Maris was one of the first seasons that they had 162 games,
and might have been
hit 61,
right, in 1961.
Yeah.
Did you know there was never officially an asterisk
because
of the additional 61. Games? Yeah.
Yeah.
There was so much upheaval, and people were so angry about the 61 coming in a full 162 season instead of 154, people were irate that they officially they allowed Maris to have officially broken the record. But I don't know. There was never an asterisk. It's not in the books.
No, it's not, because it's official, because they were official games played. If there had not been official games played, then it wouldn't have counted. But anyway.
Right.
So Aaron Judge is going to hit more than 61. And I don't even remember what we said. I think I might have said 64 total. I think he's
going to pass that. Yeah, I think he will. I think I said 60. What did I say? 65 or 66 or something?
I think so.
Something. I don't remember what I predicted. But all I know is it's very exciting. And given that he leads the league in everything except for batting average, it's pretty intense.
It is, and he's like right there with batting average.
Let's move on to that. So, let's get into the Triple Crown conversation with Aaron Judge. If you're not paying attention, you should be. We talked about Goldschmidt and his Triple Crown push and the chances of him succeeding, but let's move to Aaron Judge now. So Aaron Judge leads the league in home runs with 59. Second place is Yordan Alvarez, who has 37 home runs. Alvarez is not going to catch Judge. So
no,
I feel like
no,
the home run record, totally solid. Same with RBIs. Aaron Judge leads the league with 127 right now. Jose Ramirez is in second place with 113. That's RBIs. Batting average is where it gets dicey. So currently Aaron Judge has a 316 batting average. That puts him tied for third place with Xander Bogaerts at 316. Both of them are behind Luis Arraez of Minnesota at 317. So I looked it up, and then I found that my good friend, Andrew Simon of MLB.com, did a whole breakdown for us to assess what are the chances that Aaron Judge will earn the Triple Crown and beat out the competition for batting average. And there's, I'm not going to give you all of them because he does a really thorough job at MLB.com. You got to go check it out. It's a great article, but there are a couple of scenarios he breaks down. I think there are four. I'm going to give you the details here. If Aaron Judge goes 30 for his next 70-ish at-bats, right? About 70 at-bats, because this was written a couple of days ago. But if Aaron Judge went 30 for 70 to finish at 324, okay, that's awesome. He finishes at 324. He could do that, but then the rest of the competition would have to do this. Okay, Arias would have to have 77 at-bats and no more than 26 hits. That would put his average at 338. So Aaron Judge would have to do better than that. Bogarts would have to go 26 out of 71 at-bats with a 366 average over that period of time. And that would shift Aaron Judge over the top. Let me go down all the way to the bottom where he gives his final scenario of Judge finishing with only a 300 through the remainder of his 70 at-bats, or about 70 at-bats, right? So that puts him finishing at about 309 overall. Let's say he does really poorly, okay? If Aaron Judge does poorly and goes 21 for 70 and he does 300 the rest of the season, Arias would have to be 18 for 77 and hit 234 through the remainder of the season. Bogarts would have to hit 239 through the remainder of the season for that to be the case. So bottom line, and I'm just going to quote this, right? This is from Andrew Simon quoting. He says, a Judge batting title, and by extension a triple crown, is clearly within the realm of possibility, but just as clearly it's going to be super difficult. So he says it will likely require an excellent finish, and even then, all of his challengers basically have to fall short. Right, they have to kind of stop doing so well.
Yeah, that's really interesting, especially since they're only separated by 1 point.
Right,
that's like the big thing that's crazy is that all that has to happen for just 1 point. That's crazy.
Exactly.
But here's the thing too: is that Arias plays for the Twins. The Twins are essentially have essentially been eliminated. They had a really really rough weekend. They haven't been mathematically eliminated yet, but the Guardians pretty much just dropped them down, and it's insurmountable for them unless there's a miracle. So I don't know how hard. I don't want to question a guy's desire to play hard, but how many ground balls is Arias going to be trying to beat out over the next couple weeks? You know, what's his plate approach going to be? And granted, for a guy who is, this is the first time he was an all-star. He did finish top 10 in the rookie of the year, but he's having a career year this year. And I believe he's going into arbitration.
He is. Yeah.
So that is motivation enough, I feel like, for him to be like, yeah, I want to win the batting title. So it can be really tough for Judge to get that.
Well, and Bogarts is in a big time quagmire with his contract and where he remains with the Red Sox, isn't he?
Yeah.
Let me look at his contract details. I know there's some issues there. I just don't know off the top of my head, but
so
looks like
because there was a lot of talk about him being trade bait this year. He's heading into so he's signed through 2026.
Right.
But it's
with Scott Boras.
Yeah. Yep. So
he's locked in.
He is locked in. But okay. I think that if the Red Sox decide that this is not going to be the team that's going to take them back to the World Series, then they're going to start shedding some payroll, and his might be it. Because he could fetch a massive haul as far as prospects go.
And you could move Trevor Story back to shortstop.
And you could move Trevor Story back to shortstop. Yeah, because you're paying him a whole bunch of money.
You sure are.
So,
I think he's doing well at second base. But you...
Right.
Good move,
but guys are more comfortable at their positions. And Story said when he left Colorado that he wanted to play shortstop.
Exactly. And
so I think there was something, may have been a conversation had there. But anyway, because the other guy is Rafael Devers, and I mean, I know we're getting into free agency stuff with the Red Sox here, but he's got one more year on his deal, so he could get moved next year, I would think. But
yeah, for sure.
But let's talk. Let's go back to Goldschmidt real quick with the triple crown, because I honestly, like, looking at it right now, I don't think he's going to get it.
It's going to be super tough.
9 points behind Freddie Freeman for the batting average. Freeman's at 331. Goldschmidt is 322. Kyle Schwalbe continues to hit home runs. He has 39. Goldschmidt is tied for third with 35. He's out of Pete Alonso. And then Austin Riley has 36. And then with RBIs, Pete Alonso has 115 and Goldschmidt has 112.
Ooh. Yeah, that just...
And the Mets have got to continue to win.
They have to. Time. Yeah, and so do the Phillies. Have to.
Yeah, yeah. Phillies absolutely have to.
Phillies are in... They're in big trouble right now after giving up that Braves series. Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't think Goldschmidt is going to get it.
I don't think so either.
He's got too much ground to make up between now and the end of the season, especially with batting average. Like,
it's Freeman.
Listening to what Judge has to do to overcome 1 point, Freddie Freeman just continues to hit. That's all that dude does, is he just hits.
Yep.
So,
yep, for sure.
I think Paul Goldschmidt's triple crown hopes are over. He's got to be looking forward to the playoffs now, though, because the Cardinals are going to be in.
They're going to the playoffs. So
there's that.
Yep.
Yep.
No doubt.
For sure. All right, let's take a quick break, and when we get back, we will give you our Fantasy Baseball League update. It's playoffs, folks, and we're going to go team shopping as well.
No matter which ballpark you're at, you want to rep your team. Now you can with 9+ Us. Welcome to the Big City Series. With every design available in your team's colors, you can fit in with the home crowd or stand out on the road. Either way, we have the colors you crave. Shop the Big City Series and find designs that rep your favorite baseball podcast, cheer from the cheap seats, and much more. Shop the Big City Series, only at 9plusus.com.
If you're anything like me, you wish you could read more, but life has you up and moving at breakneck speeds. Driving back and forth to work, dropping off and picking up kids from school, cleaning the house, and much, much more. When do I have time to sit and read an actual book? That's why I use Audible. I can turn my car into a rolling university with Tom Verducci. I can investigate the 1919 Black Sox scandal while vacuuming my stairs. So if you want to learn from Joe Torre, Jackie Robinson, and Jeff Passan, you can with Audible. Click the link in the description to get your first month free and support the Baseball Together podcast.
The Nonetheless Sports Podcast is the home of sports talk for everyone. Every other week, you can catch David and Jason as they talk about all things sports, from current events to classic moments and everything in between. You can find the Nonetheless Sports Podcast on Anchor.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and more. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review.
Welcome back, baseball family. We are here and we're excited. Brad is going to give us a fantasy update really quick, and then I'm going to take us into the playoffs. We've got some updates for you that are really interesting, and we're going to help you shop out a team. But first, Brad, tell us about playoff baseball in the fantasy league.
Yeah, so like you said, the Fantasy Baseball League has reached the playoffs. Brig and I, for those of you who are keeping track at home, did not make it. Because we just didn't cut the mustard, if you will. But Brig, however, over the last 2 weeks smoked me like big time. He won 887 to 578. So I have been eliminated from the eliminated bracket.
Yeah, you're done.
The consolation bracket. But our matchups were, we did have Big League Chupacabras, that's Jewel against John. He was the Harrisburg Charlies. Jewel won that one 792 to 682. Jewel continues his reign of terror over the Fantasy Baseball League. His top scorer, he actually had Jose Abreu with 126. And then he had Joey Menezes.
Mm-hmm.
with 95 points. John's high score was Vlad Guerrero Jr. the third with 148 points. Then he had Rhys Hoskins with 94. But the difference was Brig.
Yeah.
John had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 empty spots on his roster.
Oh, wow.
That is how you lose by 110 points in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I wonder if he went to make some changes and then he just forgot to do them before the week started.
Probably.
That stinks.
It happens. All
right. In our other matchup, we had Denise, Grace Under Fire, and Jason Nunn, another fantasy team. Denise won this one 826 to 690. Denise's top scorer was Frederick Freeman with 166 points. Jason had Bo Bichette with 136. Jason had he had one empty spot, but he also had Starling Marte, who was on the 10-day IL and got him 0 points.
Ugh, yeah.
So there's that. So the final now going on at this very moment, we have Denise and Jewel are battling it out for the champion. And Denise currently is leading 44-29, but it's day one of 2 weeks, so anything can happen during that time. I believe they both have their rosters filled out. Denise, I think, said that she's going to make some changes today, but she didn't get to because she had some stuff going before the first game started. So she is
set. Started early today. In.
Yes, they did. Yeah, it's what the Twins and the Guardians got going real early today. Anyway. We're going to follow that and see how it goes, and we will crown a champion here in 2 whole weeks.
2 whole weeks, Brad. All right, cool.
So exciting.
Thanks for jumping into that. Baseball family, we have a lot of playoff information for you. First and foremost, let's go over the playoff format, because starting October 7th, these are the real playoffs. Yes, thank you. Starting October 7th, the playoffs are on. Games end October 5th, a couple of days off or one whole day off. And then we jump into the playoffs, and those will be played by wild card teams. Whereas there's previously been one wild card team, now there will be two in each league, and they will play like a crazy cakes, or three, I mean. Sorry, thank three you. There'll be three.
Yeah.
They're going to play like crazy cakes, and the number one seed gets a bye, and that's how this goes. So this is the number two seed. So here we go. 12 teams. Instead of last year's 10. Here's the breakdown. The number one seed will get a bye in the league division series. That will be the best record in the league. Okay. The number two seed will get a bye to the LDS. That will be the second best record among division winners. Not just in the league, but the division winners. The number three seed, third best record among division winners. Number four seed, best record among wild card teams is the fourth seed. The fifth seed, second best record among wild card teams, and the number six seed is the third best record among wild card teams. There will be no reseeding as things develop throughout the playoffs. So that's how
Let's talk about reseeding for a minute, what that does and doesn't mean. So those of you keeping track, the NFL, for those of you who follow NFL playoffs, they reseed. So like you have the one in, so this format is similar to what the NFL does, the top two teams getting a bye. And so after wildcard weekend, it doesn't matter who it is in the NFL. So like, say like the 5 and 6 seeds win, the 5 seed would play the 2 seed, the 6 seed would play the 1 seed. Or if 3 and 5 win, then if 3 and 5 were to win, then 3 would play the 2 seed, 5 would play the 1. No, this is a straight bracket.
Yeah.
It is a straight shot. You know, like the winners of the wild card rounds will know who they're playing the minute they win the game.
Yeah.
Because they're going on to play the first and second seed who had the bye.
Yep. That's exactly right. So that's how each league will get their 6 teams for a full 12 team format. Okay. The wild card games will be a best of 3 series as needed. Obviously they will be played at the team's home field who had the best record among the wildcard teams. The LDS, best of 5, LCS, best of 7, World Series, best of 7, which you should.
So, those wildcard series, it's a big deal for some of those teams to get home field because the 3 and 4 seed. So basically what it comes down to is Cleveland is going to have home field because the way that it stands, the way that it's looking like it's going to go right now is they're going to win the AL Central. They will have home field over the number 6 seed. And then the 4-5, whoever that is, whoever's the number 4 seed there is going to have home field. Now, Brig, think about this for a minute.
The Blue Jays have
the best home field advantage in the playoffs.
Absolutely unequivocal.
there are teams that will come in to Toronto shorthanded because of vaccination laws in Canada. So honestly, the way I'm looking at it is I don't think the Mariners are going to catch the Blue Jays. I want them in that sixth seed.
For sure.
I'd way rather go to Cleveland than Toronto.
Bro, I'm telling you, this is like unprecedented levels of home field advantage. It's never
big time.
I don't think we've in baseball, I don't think we've ever seen anything like it, but I don't think in sports this has probably ever happened. So right. It's a huge deal. And if they continue to go through the playoffs, if they advance, then it's an even bigger deal because they're going to play multiple teams in Canada with the same problem. So,
yeah. Could you imagine if they made it to the World Series and then that was like the difference maker? And I know guys like Andrew Benintendi said, you know, I'm not going to get vaccinated unless, or I think it was Whit Merrifield said that he's not going to get vaccinated unless he gets traded to a contender. But I think there are still some guys who won't do it. Robbie Ray played for the Blue Jays last year and did not get vaccinated. Granted, they were playing in Buffalo, but still.
Yeah.
And on the off chance that whatever, you know, he still didn't. Yeah. And so he didn't go to Toronto this year.
I agree. I don't know, but it's very, very interesting. So a couple things that we want to do, we do this every year. We want to give you an opportunity to select a new team if your team or your franchise has been eliminated one way or the other. So we're going to go over which teams have been eliminated officially, which teams are unofficially eliminated, baseball together stat style. And then we have some teams that have clinched, and then we'll go into contenders on both the American and National League side and give you some ideas of who you might want to root for. Okay. Playoff team shopping. Officially eliminated teams. Pirates, Reds, Cubs, Nationals, Marlins, A's, Rangers, Angels, Tigers, Royals. That's
for those of you keeping track at home. The Angels were eliminated today. That is new.
Yep, it is. These are teams we think are basically out, but it has not been made official. That includes the Red Sox, the White Sox, the Twins, Giants, D-backs, and obviously the Colorado Rockies. I shouldn't say obviously with so much fervor, I guess. But anyway, the only two teams to have clinched a playoff berth so far are the Dodgers and the Astros. Everybody else is considered a contender. The American League contenders are the Yankees, the Blue Jays, the Rays, Cleveland's baseball team, and the Mariners. The NL Orioles. Contenders.
We can call the Orioles a contender. They're in the hunt.
They're in the hunt. Yes, they're the underdog slash comeback story that we're all kind of watching closely. But the NL contenders are the Padres, Cardinals, Mets, Braves, Phillies, and Brewers. Some of those teams will be officially clinched very soon, but as of this moment, they're not. So we have to put them in the contenders category. Okay, Brad, why don't you start off? If you're a Pittsburgh Pirates fan, how do you go about rooting for which of these teams you root for, and how do you go about making that decision moving forward into the playoffs?
As a Pirates fan, I would probably root, honestly, for the Mariners because you feel like you've been in the same boat for a long time. A lot of Mariners fans called the team the minor league team of Major League Baseball, just because for so long it was like you didn't get attached to somebody because you knew they were going to get traded, especially under the last GM. He would bring up a prospect, somebody who was supposed to be really good. They're like, yeah, I'm excited about this guy. Oh, wait, he got traded.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what the Pirates do. So the Pirates in the current situation where they're at, where they have a couple of stars, they got O'Neill Cruz, who's one of the biggest names in baseball right now, because that dude is unreal.
Yeah.
You look at the Mariners and you say, they had a couple guys for a couple years there that they built around. And look at them now. They are right on the precipice of the playoffs, breaking the longest playoff drought in North American major sports history.
Bro.
If the Mariners can do it after, 6 years of having the current GM, the Pirates can do it in 5 or 6, too. That's why I'd be rooting for the Mariners as a Pirates fan.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I like that. All right, let's see. If I'm a Cubs fan,
okay,
and I don't want to root for the Cardinals, which makes sense.
Right, you wouldn't want
to. And I can't bring myself to root for the Mets, but I want to. I just won't let myself, you see, because there's probably some like weird affiliation thing that nobody wants to talk about, but is actually there. Okay. We all know it's there. Just don't talk about it. Anyway, I think that you have to stay in the National League if you're going to root for them. And I want them rooting for the Phillies, is my personal opinion. If you're a Cubs fan, you should be rooting for the Phillies. They're doing the comeback thing. They've had over a decade of playoff drought. It's time for them to have their day. It's not going to happen, though, and you're used to that as a Cubs fan. So it will feel like home rooting for the Phillies. It's right. Comfort. It's a comfort choice.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Okay, I'm going to jump over to the American League. I want to go with the A's.
Okay.
And if you're an A's fan, you should be cheering. I think we did this last year, too, for this very same reason, but I can't remember. But if you're an A's fan, you cheer for the Rays.
The Rays.
The Rays are the A's East. They're dealing with all the same problems. They have a stadium that they're trying to get out of, trying to upgrade their facility they play in. Their management works on a razor-thin budget. It seems like the Rays do pay a little bit more than the A's do, but not a whole lot because they have one of the lowest payrolls. And it's been based off of homegrown talent that the A's just need to draft well and not have guys leave for the NFL, right?
And, yeah.
And have guys reach the major league level and they could contend rather than trading off. And I know they had kind of a fire sale this last year and they got some pretty good prospects that hopefully will pan out for them. Only kind of hoping, but just because they're AL West. But anyway, no, it's there. These two teams are like mirror images of each other. It's just that one is run better than the other. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
That's the issue there. But no, if I'm an A's fan, I'm cheering for the Rays.
It's nice. It's really nice. So if I'm a Tigers fan, I'm confused. I probably stopped watching baseball after Miggy broke 2000. And I'm not paying attention anymore. So here you go. You could just kind of roll the dice if you're a Tigers fan. And I'm not being pejorative. This is legit. So if you're a Tigers fan and something is going to bring you back into watching baseball this late after this amount of time, then I think you have to watch the Orioles try and make this comeback. I think you share orange. Orange is cool, right? For those of you that like orange, you're unique. You're all by yourself. Orange is cool. And then I'm just kidding. But ultimately, if the Orioles don't make it, they're an exciting team to watch, and it's worth watching an exciting team play, especially with young talent. And if they lose, you haven't lost anything. Right, you're not out. You get to watch some really fun baseball for the next, you know, couple of weeks at least, and then if nothing else, you're good. You just go back to watching the NFL or whatever it is you do with your time.
Whatever it is you do with your time. Yes.
Okay.
All right. I want to go with the Red Sox, but I'm having a hard time deciding who those fans should cheer for.
Oh, I know. I already got that one. You want me to take that one?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. It's a hot take.
Okay.
If you're a Red Sox fan, you need to be cheering for the Yankees.
I knew you were going to say it.
And here's why. Because let's be honest, at the end of the season, you want Aaron Judge so bad. You want to pay him all the money and bring him over. So root for him. Get to know him. See how good he is. You're not going to get him anyway. But even if you do... the fact that you want him that bad in your lineup and the fact that the Red Sox organization are going to go after him as hard as I think they're going to go after him. You need to have a preview more than you've already received of what it's like to root for Aaron Judge just in case. Cause it could be like a reverse Bambino curse situation. Could be really ugly.
That would be fascinating. Yeah. It'd be really interesting to see that play out like that. Okay, I do have my next team though. I'm going to go with the Rangers. If you're a Rangers fan, you're going to cheer for the Dodgers. If for no other reason than you want Joey Gallo to finally get a ring, even if he is waving the towel at the end of the dugout.
No, Brad. No.
I Brig, I guarantee you there are still so many Joey Gallo jerseys at that stadium in Arlington.
Oh, yeah.
So, there are so many Joey Gallo fans who would love for him to get a ring just because of how well he played when he was a Ranger.
For sure.
Right? It's just like
staple.
The Rangers didn't do anything for him. They didn't build a team around him to go anywhere. And we saw that. We saw that this year. The Rangers got eliminated last week with the, even when they did pay guys.
Right. So,
yeah, no. I, as a Rangers fan, I would be cheering for the Dodgers just for Joey Gallo. That is the only reason.
Hmm. I think if you're a Twins fan, you have to give, you have to tip your cap to Cleveland, and I think you start watching Cleveland. I know that's kind of a hot take, but I think you have
to. That is a hot take because I don't, I never cheer for division rivals ever.
Right. I know. That's why I'm saying you have to.
Especially in a year when you were supposed to beat them, and now you just are trailing off into nothing this year.
Yeah, we're 7 games back. The Twins are 7 games behind right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, if I'm a Twins fan, I would probably be cheering for the Mets.
That makes sense.
Just because they're, I mean, the term "medding the bed" didn't come from nowhere, right?
Right.
Like they have this history, and then I feel like it's just like you want to see a team who doesn't do well do well. Even if it's when it's like they played well for the entire season and then they came down to September and then they just fell right off and missed the playoffs again.
Yeah.
Because that's the Twins. The Twins should have won Central this year.
That's true.
The Guardians
honestly
no business.
I think that if you're in the National League and you're already eliminated, you should be rooting for the Mets. Like, there's a really good reason for you to root for the Mets all the way around. They've got one of the most exciting lineups. Even with Francisco Lindor not really coming to play this season like we thought he would, he did better than last season, but it's not the same. I think the Mets are the most exciting team given the context and the storyline. If you add all of the emotional weight of it up, the Mets are the most exciting team to watch right now. It's hard to say the Braves aren't one of the most exciting teams to watch right now. For the same reason, except that they have recent success. That's the only difference.
Yeah.
That's literally the only difference.
The Braves are having like a mirrored season of last year. It's like the exact same thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I would cheer for the Mets over the Braves if I was a National League fan. I think you're right. I think that's absolutely the way to go. Except I did think it was funny. After I talked about the Pirates cheering for the Mariners, I was like, I went down the list and I was like, well, who would you cheer for as a Reds fan? Honestly, the logical team would be the Mariners for Reds fans to cheer for because they have 3 fan favorite players playing for the Mariners now in Jesse Winker, Gino Suarez, and Luis Castillo.
Luis Castillo, yeah.
Took their 3 best players from last year outside of Jonathan India and have them playing for the Mariners now and are a big part. I'd say all 3 of those guys are a big part of that run. I mean, Jesse Winker has not been great for large parts of the season, but I think he's been a big clubhouse, had a big role in the clubhouse.
Castillo's been amazing. Going, right?
Castillo's been outstanding. Gino Suarez has hit. Anytime they needed him to hit a big home run, he has.
Yeah.
Like that dude has come through multiple times. And he was the throw-in contract too. It's like, all right, we got Jesse Winker. We got to bring over Suarez. Yeah. That's fine. You know?
Yeah,
it's
okay.
Like, hey, we got Suarez. Had to bring over Winker. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Do you have any other advice or hot takes you want to share on this team shopping thing, Brad?
If I'm an Angels fan, I cheer for the Padres just to see if they can do something to knock off the Dodgers and bring something back to Southern California. If they can't do it, maybe the Padres can. It's somebody other than the Dodgers because obviously the Angels fans hate Dodgers fans, you know, because of the rivalry. But nobody talks about the rivalry between the Padres and the Dodgers necessarily because, I mean, unless they're playing, right?
Right. Unless they're playing. Yeah.
Yeah.
When they're playing, it's all the rage, but.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's the same thing with the Dodgers and the Angels, but you see it more with Dodgers and Angels fans because they're both quote unquote LA teams. So
yeah,
that really gets pushed hard, kind of like the Subway Series. But no, if I'm an Angels fan, I'm cheering for the Padres just so they can knock off the Dodgers for no other reason.
It's pretty good. Yeah, I like that a lot. Well, if I'm a Rockies fan, I think I'm rooting for the Broncos at this point.
The 1-1 Broncos, yeah.
Being honest.
Most likely. You know? Yeah. What about the Marlins? If you're a Marlins fan, I mean, I know you said all National League teams should cheer for the Mets, but is there, if you're taking away division rivals, so you're taking out the Mets, you're taking out the Braves,
yeah,
the Phils as well.
Yeah, I can't do the Phils.
Marlins.
I think if you're a Marlins fan, wow, that's a really hard one. I want to say Tampa Bay, but I don't think that flies. I think you're going to have to go with Toronto.
That's what I think.
If you're a Marlins fan, you need to be rooting for Toronto because you're kind of, you know, young talent, lots of potential. It's happening in Toronto right now. It's going to be happening in Miami potentially in the next couple of seasons. That's it though. And they're probably all pals is the biggest reason.
They probably are, but that's exactly what I was thinking. The Marlins fans should cheer for the Blue Jays just because they're put together similarly. And like,
yeah,
granted the Blue Jays had top prospects, right?
And, oh yeah.
And they had the lineage, everything that the Marlins don't have, but the Marlins have Jazz Chisholm. They have Sandy Alcantara. Yeah, they have right. An exciting team. They have Jorge Solar, who yeah. I still think could do great things in Miami.
They still have Donnie Baseball. Yeah. He's terrific.
Yep. Yeah. So I think the Marlins fans should be looking at what the Blue Jays have done. And
yeah, I agree.
Because they could go in there. They could wreck the NL East next year.
Yep. Yeah, they could. Well, next year, it could be between Baltimore and Toronto, honestly.
It could
be. That'd be a world, wouldn't it?
Because no Judge this year. The Yankees are, what, a 500 team probably?
Barely.
Maybe.
They're barely a 500 team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. So no Judge next year. The Yankees are in big trouble.
Yeah.
Big time.
Well, baseball, big time, man.
Let us know what you think about team shopping. Did we get these right? Did we get them wrong? And if you are a fan of an eliminated team, who are you cheering for? Do you have a playoff team you're cheering for? Or are you just watching football now? Are you just yeah. done? And because you can't. Because I get that too. Honestly, yeah. I would understand if you're like, I'm done with baseball this year. Yeah. Had a frustrating season. Say you're a Giants fan. You're like, yeah, I'm on to the 49ers.
Yeah.
Big time.
I think that makes a lot of sense, actually.
It does make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But let us know. Jump in the mailbag. There's a link in the description of every single episode. There's also a link on baseballtogether.com where you can just go up in the navigation, click the link, and send us an email that way. Tell them about the shop, Brig.
The shop is called 9plusus.com. Spell it out. NINEPLUSUS.com. 9plusus.com. Brad is wearing his Pirate Baseball t-shirt. I have my official Baseball Together t-shirt. For the podcast, this is in the Bronx collection. You can see the pinstripes if you're watching on YouTube. We do this with every one of the city's team's colors so that you can have access to repping the colors without repping the logos. For it's cheaper. And also, if your kid is on a dang baseball team that you just don't want to support in Little League, it's okay. You can wear the colors without repping the logo. That's what we do it for you.
That's right. And don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, and review the show. Let us know what you think about what we're doing. You can comment on YouTube. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else that's available. But don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode, because we do this every year, but we also do a bunch of other fun things. We actually recorded an interview the other day with a sports psychologist, and it was fantastic. That will be coming in a few weeks here. Yeah, it was very exciting. We had a lot of fun with it. So subscribe so you don't miss that when it's coming up. But baseball family, thank you so much for joining us again this week, and we will catch you next week.